Amen. Praise God. And the name of this teaching is called The Love for the Body of Christ. The Love for the Body of Christ. You know, if I were to ask you right now, and I say, do you love God? Everybody will say here, yes, I do. And if you're one of those persons, well, then you are going to be tested today. This is a test. This is a time for testing. To see really where are you at in the things of God. Why is this war coming right now? I believe because it's time for us to grow. I believe that we cannot stay in the same place that we've been. Because we'll never get to the place where we're going. If you want to go somewhere, you can't stay in the same place. If somebody that you love is in a place where they don't want to grow no more, then you know why? You need to, you can't just say, I'll stay here. No, no, you got to keep going. You know, because sometimes even people will try to keep you at a level because they're not willing to grow up. Amen. But you know what? My example of the body of Christ is like, it's like this body. You know, I remember when I used to work out. As you can tell, I don't work out anymore. I used to work out. And, huh? Oh, yeah, brother. Spiritual workout. But, I used to work out. And I remember when I used to start, you start bench pressing. You know, for the man, you're like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? You get the curls and you start getting a little bigger, right? But all of a sudden, you realize that your legs don't match your upper body. Your upper body is this big and your legs are this skinny. So what do? Well, you start working out your legs. As for me, let me tell you, man, guys, I hate to do squats. Man, it's just painful. But you know you gotta do it. Why? Because the body is one. And when you see the body that doesn't match the rest, because you love your body, you fix it. Now, let me go into a women's point of view. When a woman is getting ready for a party, they start getting dressed. They go through about 100, you know, different outfits. And they wear the first one they pull out. Why? I don't know. You know, but Brother Basilio, I know he's not here, so I'll talk about him a little bit. He always says, brother, it's better to part the Red Sea than understand women. And it's true. But women start getting ready for the party. And what do? They take a shower, they get ready, they fix their face, they put their makeup. They don't like their makeup, they take it off, they put it back. They fix their hair, they don't like it, they fix it again. You know, and they look at every centimeter of how they look. Because they don't want that a piece of their vessel look out of order. And this is the thought that I want to bring to you today about the body of Christ. And with that, let's turn to our word on 1 Corinthians. And we're going to start on 1 Corinthians 12. And we'll start on 1 Corinthians verse 12, verse 12. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Emilio. The love for the body of Christ. We're going to read first verse 12, and he says, the body is a unit, though it is made of many parts, and though all parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Did you hear that? We all together form one body. Jump to verse 20 now, verse 20 and verse 21. And he says, as it is, there are many parts, for one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat them with special honor. Now jump to verse 26 and 27. If one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, then all the parts should be honored. We are one body. Let me tell you, if you right now think you're spiritual mature and you think you're better than your brother, then more than likely you are not spiritual. You're not. You are not spiritual. Because see, a spiritual man loves the body of Christ. Did you notice that I didn't say the lost people? Did you notice that I didn't say the brethren that walked away from faith? I said the body of Christ. Say after me, the body of Christ. I'm talking about the body of Christ. A person that loves Christ has to love his body. You know, some people here might say, and I used this example before, some people say, I don't like myself. And I'm like, oh yeah? I'll tell you what, we'll make a test afterwards. Are you ready for the test? They go, yeah, I'll test it. Look, you're going to put your leg on the road, and I'm going to run over you with my car. Oh, I thought you didn't like yourself. Oh, I hate my face. Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll make another test. I will get a knife and cut your skin off. See if you really, you say you don't like your face. I don't like my ears. Okay, I'll chop them off. I wish my eyes were blue. I'll paint them. We are one body. At one point, you're going to have to get it in your heart that we are not enemies. We are not enemies. The enemy has done a great job dividing. Actually, division is from the devil. If today you are a divisive person, you're immature. And I will show you through the Bible in a couple of minutes. Now, I'll tell you what. Turn to your Bibles now. Go one chapter ahead. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. And go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And he says, and now these three remain, hope, faith, and love. But the greatest of this is what? What is the greatest thing you can do? The greatest is love. I'm not talking about, you know, your emotional feelings when somebody gives you a Valentine's card. You know, I feel like people have turned 1 Corinthians 13 into a Hallmark card. 1 Corinthians 13 is not a Hallmark card. It is God's word to the body of Christ or how they're supposed to behave. We use the 1 Corinthians 13 nowadays to send it to the loved one. Oh, love is patient, love is kind. Woo! What is that? This is the word of God. Yeah, you should use it with your sweetheart. I'm not saying no. But it goes farther away than that. You know, in Colossians 3, 13, 15, and I'm going to read this. It says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. If any man has a complaint against you, even as Christ forgave you, you should also forgive him. Above all things, walk in love. Above all things. Above all things. Say after me. Above all things, walk in love, which is the bond of perfection. This is the bond of perfection. You want to be perfect? Do you want to be perfect? Amen. Then you're going to have to learn to love. Amen. Love is not just a word. Love is not just a word that we use. Love is used so carelessly in days today. I love you. No, you don't. Because if you love them, you wouldn't hurt them. If you love them, why would you do something wrong? If you love your body, why would you smash your fingers? I never seen anybody I never seen a guy grab a hammer when he's trying to hit the nail, and instead of hitting the nail, goes, let me see if my finger will do the same. It's not going to happen. Because you love your fingers. Hey, man, it hurts when you hit your finger.
Even your finger. Look, if you don't love your body, look, we'll do a test right now. I'll cut your pinky. Let's see if you don't love the body. Now, and he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. We are calling one body, one body, one body. Not one family, not a family, a body. Not just me and my wife. No, 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 a body. Amen. A body. At one point, you got to get past your family too and meet people. Meet your brothers and sisters. Do you know that you're going to spend eternity together? Amen. 1 John 3:16. Now let's jump. You say, I want to test this word in your hearts now. I want to see really if the love for the body is in your heart. Well, actually, I'm not going to test it. The Lord is going to test your heart. And he says in 1 John 3:16, he says, by this we know that we love, because he laid down his life for us. We also are to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's what love is. That's what love is. That you put yourself aside for your brother. That's what real love is. Jesus also said, you know, that no greater love is that a friend lays his life down for his friend. The greatest command is said, love yourself. Who can tell me the rest? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Amen. If you don't love yourself, you're going to hate your neighbor. You're going to despise them. Because you see yourself with your own eyes. You don't see yourself in God's eyes, how God sees you. In John 3:16, he gave his life. And 1 John 3:16, he's asking us to give our life. Can you see that? In John 3:16, he says he gave his life for us. And in 1 John 3:16, he says, you give your life now. You are to give your life for the brethren, because that's the greatest love. Now jump to 1 John 3:14 and 15, and he says, we know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. If today you hate your brother, you despise the body of Christ, I'll tell you there's two things in you. Number one, or you are just bitter and full of offense. Or number two, you're not saved. You're not saved. How do I know that? Let's jump to the next verse. Go to 1 John 4:7-11. 1 John. I want to read this to you. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from where? From God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only son into the world that he might live through him. This is love, that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We know that we know God by love. If you have no love towards the body, more than likely, you're not even saved. You're not. Because God is love. God is love. Say after me, God is love. And if God is love, then you have to love the brethren. Am I saying go hang around with a brother at a bar and drink some beer? No, I'm not saying that. Let me tell you, I don't even go 1,000 feet close to that.
But we ought to love the brethren. What is that? Well, they're sinners. Well, I thought this is church. That's what we do here. We restore people. I thought that was our job. Actually, he says that a spiritual man, he says, you that are spiritual, restore those who fall. Amen. So why is it that a lot of time the people that say they're spiritual are the ones who, instead of restoring, put down? If you are spiritual today, your job is to restore the brethren. You know what he says? He says that he who restores a brother from sin, he says a brother from sin, 1 Thessalonians. He says, you have saved him from the fire of hell.
Amen. That's right.
Wow. What do you want to be known? The person that pulls people out of the fire or the person who puts him in there? And the only way you demonstrate this is through love. It's love. Now, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, a sound mind. God gave us a spirit of love. And if that spirit is not in you, then what do you have in your heart? Amen? Now, God never said that the greatest gift was to preach. God never said that the greatest gift was to speak in tongues. God never said that prophecy was the greatest gift. God never said to be an apostle, a pastor, a preacher, or whatever was the greatest gift. What is a gift? A gift is something God gives you to the body. To raise the body up. That's why God gives you a gift. So that way you edify the body. God didn't give you a gift of preaching so you can exalt yourself above all. God didn't give you a gift. Any gift that God is giving you is to edify the body. So the greatest gift that God gives for the body, this is the greatest. There is no other. It's love. When you can show the love of God like Jesus did, then you are there. Because see, Jesus hung around all kinds of people. He hung around sinners. He hung around people that were demon-possessed. Actually, the people that were demon-possessed, they will come to him and say, here I am. Even the devils will speak, Jesus, don't torment me. Jesus loved. He loved Peter, an arrogant man. He loved John, who was just a kid. He loved Thomas, who was a doubter. He loved Daniel, who was an Enoch. He loved David, who was an adulterer. He loved Samson, who knows about Samson? He loved them. And even when they fell, he restored them. That is the greatest love. That's the greatest love. The greatest love is that you lay your life down for your brothers. 1 John 4:12, it says, no one, look what I see, look. 1 John 4:12. Let me wait for it. No one has seen God. Did you read that? Look what it says, no one. What does no one mean? No one. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. That's how you know that God is alive. Because love enters into your heart. 1 John 4:18-21, it says, there is no fear in God, but perfect love casts out fear. You know, some people are so afraid of people. Why are you afraid of people? I thought you had love. Perfect love casts out fear. Why would you fear people? Why would you fear men? Right. Why? Maybe because you're not perfected in love.
It says, we love him because he loved us first. So how do we know we love? Because love entered our hearts first. He came. He showed us how to love. We don't even know how to love until God comes in here and says, now I teach you how to love. Amen. He says, we love him because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he who doesn't love his brother whom he can see, how can he love God who he cannot see? How can you say you love God when you hate your brother? No one has ever seen God. No one. None of you. Everybody in here. No, you haven't seen God. The revelation of the Almighty God who lives in an approachable light. Nobody has seen him. Then how can you say you love God and you hate the person that is next to you? Why? I'll tell you again, two reasons. One, or you're bitter of heart because you allowed offenses to enter your heart. Or number two, you're not saved. You're not saved. Because that is the test of how you know you're saved. Now, am I saying that love is, again, let me say that. Am I saying that love is, you know, going to people's home and, oh, I love you. No, that's not love. I'm going to show you in a little bit what really love is. You know, now, love is the greatest. Love is the bond of perfection. Love is the test of the heart. Beloved, you want to test somebody comes to you and you want to understand them whether they're of God or not. You know, the only way you know is if they love. If they don't love, more than likely, the two things I already said twice, or they're babies in Christ. They need pampers. That's why they poop everywhere. I hope you don't have pampers. I really, honestly, you know what? Excuse what I'm about to say. Forgive me beforehand. I really don't care how old you are. Because a lot of times we use this word and just throw it to the younger ones. Why don't you use it in your life first? And be the light and show us how it is done. You want to be the greater? You got to love. Without love, you'll never give your life. Why was it the disciples died for Jesus? They died. They died for him. Because they loved him. That's why they died. They loved him so much, they were willing to give their life for him. But why did they love? Because Jesus loved them first. Faith without works is dead. Love without works is also dead. Faith is a fruit, so is love. Love without works is dead. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's jump now to 1 Corinthians 13. Go to your Bibles. I'll give you a minute to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now we're gonna see what really love is from this point of view. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to start on verse 1. And this is what 1 Corinthians says. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. Whoa, you can actually speak in tongues of angels. Praise God. Okay. But have not loved, I'm only a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I can fathom all mysteries, all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have no love, I'm nothing. Say after me. No love? Nothing. If I give all possessions to the poor, and I surrender my body to the flames, but have no love, I gain nothing. So, you might today be the greatest prophet that God gave to you. I don't know.
You might be the most eloquent preacher. You might be you might speak in tongues of angels and of men. You might say you have faith to move mountains. But if you have no love, you haven't gotten anything. Zero. You have nothing. Love is the bond of perfection. Now let's keep reading. Love is patient. Now look, stop right there. Do you remember we just read chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, right? And we was talking about what? About the body, right? Now we turn to chapter 13, which is a letter to the Corinthians. So it goes straight. It's the same message. Now it's talking to the body. And he says, love is patient. Why wouldn't you be patient with your brother? Why wouldn't you have patience with your brethren? Why? Those of you who are mature, why wouldn't you have patience with the other ones? Why? If love is patient, he says love is kind. Love is kind. Love is not, like my way or the highway. Love is kind. It does not envy. Love doesn't envy. You should rejoice when the body is honored. I always tell this to the youth. I tell them this. If you fail, brother, I fail. If you succeed, I succeed. Because we're one. Love is kind. It does not boast. It is not proud. You know? It is not proud. You don't have to show yourself how great you are. It is not proud. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. This is how you deal with the body. It does not keep records of wrong. Should I close my Bible at that point? Some people, some of you right here, you still remember what people did to you 10 years ago. Then you wonder why there is no joy, peace in your heart. There's bitterness, anger, resentment. That's why. Because you keep records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. You should love the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. You want your children to be raised up mighty. Love them. Love never. Say never. Love never fails. This is the greatest weapon you'll ever have. It didn't say faith never fails. It didn't say prophecy never fails. It said love never fails. You want to be an adult in the Lord? Do you know if you love, if these characteristics are in your heart? If you're rude, then you lack something. If you're envious, you lack something. You got records of wrong in your heart, you lack something. Because remember that a fruit, the fruit of love, grows. It matures. It's like this. Let me show you. I'll stop right there. Let me show you. It's like, you know, when you buy an orange, but it's ripe and ready to be eaten, you take off the cover, right? And it's not very hard to take it off. And you grab that orange and you go, oh, man, it tastes good. You know, when you, an avocado, you know an avocado is a fruit, right? You know, when you get an avocado and you cut it in half, and then it just loses from the, and you cut it and you cut the little pieces and you start eating it, that it tastes good. You get a mango, you know, and man, I remember, I always remember the mango because of little Ray. You get a mango, right? When the mango's ready to eat, you cut it, and you, oh, man, it tastes good. That's how a mature person in Christ is. When they come around you and they speak to you, they taste good. A baby in Christ, it's like going to the store and buying an avocado that's not ready. Have you ever done that? You go to HEV and you're there pressing the avocados to see which one is ready. And more than likely, always happens, you pick one that is not ready. And you go home and you go, man, it's not ready. But you want to eat it anyways. So you cut it anyways. So I guess I wasn't the only one that's done that. And you open it, man, and it's hard to open. And then you cut it and you can't even peel it because half of it stays on top. And then you bite it, and it does not taste good. Let me tell you, people of God, if you know a lot of the Bible, but people don't want to get it out from you, or they don't want to know what you know, more than likely it's because you don't taste good. And you need to grow up in love. Because, see, a person like Jesus, who was the most spiritual, I think Jesus will be the most spiritual person, right, to walk on the earth, right? Even the children went up to him. Even the little kiddos. Jesus, Jesus. And there go the adults. Oh, don't bother Jesus right now. And the Lord is like, get out of the way. Let the children come to me. Don't hinder them. Don't hinder them. He can talk to children. He can talk to his disciples, who were all different ages, and love everybody at their level. The only ones that he rebuked were the religious. Woe unto you, you Pharisees. You tithe and you give your offerings, but you forgot the most important thing in the law. Amen. To love, mercy, and have justice. That's the most you can do. That's what God told them. Woe unto you, you Pharisees. That's what he said. Love. Let's keep going. Now go in verse 8. He says, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. There are tongues that will pass away. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For in part we know the imperfections disappear. Now look at this. Go, look on verse 11. It's talking about love, right? We're talking about love. All the chapter 13, chapter 12, we talked about the body. Chapter 13, we're talking about love. He says, on verse 11, he says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. If you're still acting like this, in the opposite way, all you are is a child in Christ. You haven't grown up. You haven't grown up. Let me show you another verse. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Go to 1 Corinthians 3 real quick. First Corinthians 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. First Corinthians chapter 3. Talking about division in the churches. This is why divisions in the churches happen. He says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready for it. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy, quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Love doesn't parade itself in fights. If you are still quarreling, even at your home, fighting, arguing, bickering, discord,
unforgiveness, jealousy, envy. You are just a baby in Christ. That's what you are, a baby. And it's time to grow up. A spiritual man has self-control. A spiritual man has self-control. Go to Hebrews real quick. Let me show you one more verse on that before we jump to the last piece. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. The squirreling, always fighting, always bickering, always arguing, always, there's always discord around you. You're a baby. You're a baby. 5:11, he says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God, God's word, all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. A spiritual person does not just see the evil on the people. We have this lie in the church that people think they're spiritual because they can see the faults of their brethren. That ain't spiritual. A spiritual person discerns from both sides, good and evil. Amen. Not just one side. Right. When all you discern is the good, you're a baby. When all you discern is the evil, you're a baby. You haven't matured yet to discern both sides. You need to learn because this war brings peace in your home. If you learn to love, you will love in your home. But why is it that the Lord allows us to discern from good and evil? Is it so that way we can tell the church, everybody in the church, how evil a brother is? Is that our job? Is that what we're called to do? There's a misconception that we think that bringing the dirt out from the brethren out into light is so godly. And then run and tell the whole church. That's actually sad. That's right. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 26. It says, test all things. Hold firmly. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. It says, test all things. Hold firmly to the good. Hold firmly to the good. If I want to hold on firmly to something, I will embrace it. I will embrace it because I want to hold on firmly to the good. And then he says, and abstain from every evil form. That's a spiritual man right there. A man who discerns both sides, not just one side. Not just one side. You have to discern both sides. Some people, they never see how the enemy is here working because they just, all they focus is, they never focus. They never see the schemes of the enemy because they never see it. Immature. And some other ones, all they focus is on the evil. They don't focus on the good. Immature. Immature. Our job is to perfect, to train the saints to the stature and the maturity of Jesus Christ. What a responsibility we have. If today you think you're spiritual, that's the responsibility that God is telling you. Your job is to train. God came to this world, he says. Jesus came to this world to save it, not to condemn it. And if Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, who gave you a license to condemn the people of God? Paul says, I don't even judge myself. But one day I will give account to him who I'll give account to in the day. Your job is not to condemn the people of God. Actually, when you condemn the people of God, all you're doing is stepping on them. And they're already down there. They're seeking for help, trying to breathe. They're in the miry pit, raising their hands. Somebody help me. And instead of reaching the hand to help them, there comes a, get back in there. That's where I want to see you. Because I'm spiritual and I want you to see me. Look, oh, look how great I am. Oh, you're down there. I'm up here. Oh, wow, what's spiritual? If you want to be a spiritual man or woman of God, you have to get love. Amen. Now, we're almost done. Now, go to Galatians real quick. One more verse. Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. He says on Galatians chapter 5 or 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. How's faith work? It's not love working through faith, right? It's not faith working through, faith works through love. 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 You want great faith? You need to love. I'm going to leave you with this word from the Lord. But right before I write, I want to say one last thing, if you allow me. You know, and I'm going to give you the Marvin International version on this verse. You want to help the brethren? Do you love the brethren and you want to help them? You want to help them grow up, be strong? So that way we all as a body come to the unity in the Spirit. That's what Jesus said. That the body will come in the unity of the Spirit, in the maturity, at the stature of Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be. We're not there yet. You want to help the brethren? You want to help somebody? You feel like you got a calling from God to help somebody? Before you help your brother, take the 2x4 out of your eye so you can help your brother take the little splinter from their skin. In other words, allow God to deal with your heart first. And when you are healed from your heart, you can help somebody. And you know the funniest thing? When you allow God to heal you, you come to a person with such gentleness. I got a word from you. It's from the Bible. Love is the greatest. Love is the bond of perfection. You want to be a perfect man? Do you want to grow up in the Lord? This is it, brother. This is it. The bond of perfection is love. Love is the test of the Spirit. You want to test somebody whether they're of God or not? Look into their hearts and see if they love the brethren. Faith works through love. Love has an action. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love doesn't bicker. Love doesn't fight. No love,
for the brethren, one of three things. Let me say it again. Or you're a baby in Christ, or you're just not saved. One of the two. Love doesn't keep records of wrong, beloved. If somebody did something to you, I think it's time for you to put it aside. Love conquers all. You want to conquer something? Love. You want to conquer something? Love. Love is the greatest gift for the body. The greatest gift for the body is not preaching. The greatest gift for the body is not preaching. It's not prophecy. It's not speaking in tongues. The greatest gift is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Did you hear that? It said your neighbor. It didn't even say the brethren. Imagine if you don't love your brother, how in the world are you going to love your neighbor? Love speaks in love. Listen to this. Love speaks in love. You know one thing I learned, a person that directed me in the things of God for many years, he would always tell me the truth in my face. He never buttered it up. He always told me straight to my face and said, brother, this. But you know what? I always received it because I knew it was coming from his heart. Because he loved me. And he said it in love. And the last sign, I'll leave you with this, that you're a spiritual man is this. If you cannot control your tongue, you're unspiritual. You're a baby. So now, let me ask this question again. Who in here is the mature? Are you the spiritual? You're the spiritual one. Are you the mature one? Show it through your life. It don't matter how many words you say. What do you speak? How many times you say you love God? This is something that is not done through words. It's an action. It's an action. And if that action doesn't follow what you say, then you're lying. Love. Love. I tell you what, let's have Brother Tafoya. Please come, brother. I want you to play that song that you played last time, brother. Hallelujah. Why am I preaching on love? You're probably thinking, man, this is the first time that I hear about love and get rebuked. Because see, love is what's going to bring peace to your home. Love is what's going to get your kid out of drugs. Love is what's going to save your husband and your wife. Love is what's going to draw the neighborhoods. You know, the biggest hindrance of growth is. The biggest hindrance of growth, spiritually, in numbers, and in the church. You know what it is? People don't see the love that Jesus showed. And because they don't see it in you, they say they're lying. They're lying. And because you're lying, the people out there that are lost going to hell are looking at you and saying, we need to grow up as one. We're one. One. If you speak evil of your brethren, you're destroying them. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. When deadly words come out of your mouth, automatically makes you a baby in Christ. Always told me, my old pastor always told me this. It's not how many words you speak that make a wise man, but it's how many words you don't speak that makes you wise. That's what makes you wise, spiritual, mature. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.